I got some good stuff for you, all right? The Lord has really been preparing this word from my heart for you guys. I think it's a great word of what we do in Teen Challenge and what the church does. This is not just Teen Challenge, and more importantly, what Christ does. And so if you had to give this word a title, it would be called Stuff. On my word, it actually has a quotation marks on stuff. Okay? So how many of us know that us as Americans, we like stuff? Us as people, I don't even think you have to be just American. Stuff, right? We all got a place for our stuff, right? The junk drawer. Anybody got a junk drawer? Anybody got a couple junk drawers? A junk room? When we go on vacation, what do? We take a suitcase and fill it full of stuff. Yeah, and then we go to a hotel room. And we have drawers and places to put our stuff. When I went through the program, I had this place for all my stuff. It was underneath my mattress. So every day I had all my pens and notebooks in there. I would go in there and lift up my mattress and it was just covered. And my buddies would tease me about it all the time. And that was my place for my stuff. And then I got married to my beautiful wife. Isn't she lovely? Yes, please. And I had this place on the counter where I would take out and put all my stuff. She's like, no, yeah, who said that? You've been there. She said, no, this is not how this works. This is the counter. This is not for your stuff. So we bought this shelf, right? We got this little shelf. It's like this. It sits here. And I placed all my stuff on there, and when we first got it, it was nice and neat and organized. You know, my sunglasses go right here, my wallet right here, my keys right here, my chapstick here. Yeah. Now it's become so full that when I go to place something on it or take something off, stuff falls off and almost hits my little dog. The point is, we can be really attached to stuff. Some stuff, we don't want to let go. Not everything is considered physical stuff. Not everything is money or possessions. As you heard from that video, I had some stuff. I was told I had a learning disability at a very young age. I was put on psych meds and ADHD medicine. I was molested as a child. My parents were divorced. I believed that I was a stupid and a failure. And I made choices that represented that. I had stuff. Sometimes we choose to hold on our stuff, and it becomes idolatry. So there's a famous passage that we're going to go over. But before we get there, I want to play a little video for you. Remember that 70%? I want you guys to remember this. But that we hold on to stuff sometimes. And it can trap us. And so if you would play that video, that'd be great.
First, he laboriously drills a hole in a giant anteap when he is sure a baboon is watching him because he knows baboons are incurably inquisitive. Next, he puts some wild melon seeds into the hole and works them in so that they drop into a hollow. Then he saunters off, knowing the baboon is burning with curiosity. The baboon doesn't trust that human being at all, so he plays it cool. But he's dying to know what gives in that confounded hole. Finally, Mr. Inquisitive can't take it any longer. He's got to know what's in there. He reaches in, grabs a fistful, and now his hand's too big to come out. If he had the sense to drop the seed, he could free his hand. Now he lets go when it's too late.
I think we get the picture. He held on to that stuff, right? He didn't want to let it go. So much so, it caused him to be captured. And so what I'm here to tell you today is that stuff really is a secret idolatry, a worship of self that not only misdirects and destroys faith, it robs us of our real treasure. So there are two main points that I'm going to make during this word called stuff. The first, it becomes all about us or self. And two, it robs us of our true treasure. So if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. So I really love Mark. Mark was a guy who wrote about the powers and miracles of Christ. Those were the kind of some of the things that he really focused on. And so this story you've probably heard many, many times. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Now, I'm going to give you a different take on this verse because a lot of times we get caught up on the stuff, physical stuff. But I want to take it a level further. So if you would read with me, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As he went out into the street, a man came running up, greeted him with great reverence, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. Honor your mother and your father." He said, "Teacher, I have from my youth kept them all." So here's this guy. He's got a question. He's got a good question. And he goes to the right person who could answer that question. How do I get eternal life? Jesus is the one that would know that. And then he has a response that says that, "But I have kept them all." So it's not really a bad question. He was really right, but yet so wrong. And I'm not really sure if he realized how daring of a question this was for Jesus. He really could have just fronted him and put him out on total front street and said that, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Of all the commandments the rich young man thought he had kept since he was a boy, he had broken the first and greatest of these commandments. You shall have no other gods. We should fear, love, and trust in God, all things above. But I find it funny that this guy was so intent on projecting this image of being great. How many of us sometimes, you don't have to raise your hand, lie about where we're at? Or we want to put on this image that we go to church every day, so we're a Christian. I'm going to tell you that just because you stand in a garage does not make you a car. And there are people who have hurts, who have stuff. We all do. The word says we have all fallen short. Any man that says he has no sin is a liar. I didn't say that. That's 1 John. Are you with him? I don't think you want to. And so, but we're as a culture and as people, we're so intent on projecting this image that everything is okay or that we don't have any stuff. And so Jesus, the great teacher that he is, he takes it a little bit deeper. Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. That's going to be a key part. And loved him. He said, "There's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come follow me." The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart, and he was holding on tight to a lot of things, stuff, and was not about to let go. So he goes to the right person. He gets the answer, and he certainly received the right answer. You know all the commandments: don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. And there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own, give it to the poor, and all your wealth will be heavenly wealth. Come and follow me. Which is a very appropriate thing for the disciples at that time. But in the end, he made the wrong decision. He went away with a heavy heart. And then Ivy says, clouded face, sad. He was holding on to a lot of stuff and not about to let go. Here's where they see the real reality of stuff. It isn't just a devotion to material things. It is idolatry, just as much as bowing down before a statue or a false god. Whatever you love most or look at the most for your blessings the most, that has become your god. So I'm going to give you a teaching real quick on what we do in Teen Challenge. You don't have to go through the program for this. I'm going to give this one to you for free. I have two major points that we preach over and over to these men that truly took effect in my life and changed my life. Choices reflect values, and values reflect choices. So when I believed that I was a failure or no good or just a punk kid, I made choices that represented that. When I was selfish and in my own mess, I made choices that showed that. Now, I said I wanted to do good, and I said I love my family, but my choices had proved otherwise. Now God has shifted and molded my values, and I value my walk with God. I value my wife. I value my ministry, and you know what? I make choices that represent that. I don't go hang out with friends that are using. You hang out in the barbershop, sooner or later you're going to get your hair cut. I don't have relationships with other women. I even have boundaries with Sarah's friends, not because I don't trust myself, but because I value my marriage. Yeah. Yeah. Choices and values. That was point number one. Point number two, no man can consistently behave in a way other than the way he perceives himself. Wow. I know it's a little deep for some of you. I'm going to break that down. So what that means is that no one can continually act and perform in a way other than the way he views himself, sees himself, thinks about himself, or believes about himself. So if you really believe that you are no good, that you can't do anything, or you're damaged, then you are eventually going to make choices that reaffirm that belief. Those are the two biggest things I deal with in Teen Challenge. I think that's like the secret, and you guys got that for free today. So with this man, we clearly see that idolatry has become and given direction and an invitation to something else. But Jesus, go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor, and all your wealth will be heavenly wealth, and come and follow me. So I'm going to give you a phrase, and we'll see how many of you are paying attention. Money is the root of all evil. But the world thinks so. They'll tell you. Money is the root of all evil. I said this before, and nobody caught it at all. You got a good church. A lot of them know, all right? But we're going to give you what the Word says about it, okay? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So it's not the money. It was the love. It was the heart behind it. The love of money and possessions, what was most to the young man, he walked away sad. Back at his house, these things, materialistic things, isn't really the worship of material, it is the worship of self. And we do this with actual physical possessions and the way we believe. The bad attitude, the sadness, the depression, not liking your coworker. Nobody ever has that problem. That's just Teen Challenge. That was just for us, guys. All of the things we surround ourselves will either be taken away from us or will be taken away from them. Our lies we choose to believe that control us. Those big screen TVs that we have, they will soon be obsolete. The car, like Craig's Mustang, no, I'm just kidding, will soon rust away. Especially if you have Charlie Raymond work on it. Sorry, inside joke. He said, I could fix that. My dad, he bought a computer for me when I was a kid. Where's my dad? Dad, how much was that computer? $3,500 for a Packard Bell computer. I think it was 1995, somewhere around there. Oh, it had a lot of stuff about the technology of a pager. You know, like 400 megahertz. $3,500. Now you can get a phone that could take down NASA for $200. But do you really think that Jesus wants that stuff? Or does he want your heart? I made choices that said that I was hurt. I made choices to not trust people. I think those are the things that God really wants. Point number one. Stuff is all about us or ourself. We've seen that with the young rich ruler's stuff. It had become all about him and nothing about Jesus. It's not that Jesus wanted him to just get rid of everything. You do this and then you get this. Which a lot of time in the legalistic mode it is. We think that if we jump through all these hoops, then we get this. But it wasn't about that. It was about his heart. And Jesus loved him. And if we look on in Mark 10:23-25, looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom?" The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing, but they kept on. You can't imagine how difficult. I'd say it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for the rich to get into God's kingdom. The NIV says the eye of the needle. I have a picture of the eye of the needle. If you would put that up. This is a place in Jerusalem where it's called the eye of the needle, where at night they would shut the gates, and this was the only way to enter. Now, I was at another church, and I really demonstrated this by getting on down on all fours and crawling through, but I have a wired mic, and I don't want to mess that up. But literally, they have to strip off everything, off the camel, off them, and they literally have to crawl in there to enter in through the eye of the needle. Now, I'm not saying you have to leave your stuff behind and get rid of it all. I'm sure they dragged it in, you know, they just leave it there. But what a great depiction of what Jesus wants us to do with our stuff. To just come to him as we are. And then he brings his stuff. And I can tell you that when it comes from the Lord, it is so much sweeter. My beautiful wife, my job, my car that's kind of on the fritz, but I'm so thankful for it because it gets me from point A to point B sometimes. But when it comes from the Lord and it's his stuff, it's so much better. And sometimes we have to get down on our knees and we have to get rid of all that stuff, whether it's materialistic, whether it's beliefs, whether it's lies, whether it's a big screen TV. Jesus invited the rich young ruler, "Come follow me," and he walked away. That was Mark chapter 10. But the other sad truth is that it robs us of our treasure. I am a huge sports fan. My wife knew I was a sports fan, but I don't think she really knew I was a sports fan. I will watch almost any sport. If we put two pencils on the ground and we decided to race them across the floor with our noses, I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to partake in it. I really like sports. So there was a national championship, Alabama and Clemson. Roll Tide. Yeah, there you go. There's always one, I swear. We'll pray for her later. No, just kidding. They're a dynasty. And this great game, and I had to go to this prayer meeting. Ugh. And I didn't check my phone once. I tell you the truth, or my watch. I didn't check either of those once. And I was so blessed at this meeting of prayer. And I got out, and I seen that they had this great, great game, and I had missed it. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 11, do you know what the rich young ruler missed? Whew. He would have seen and experienced, if he would follow us Jesus, Palm Sunday. The young man would have seen Jesus riding in Jerusalem and would have heard the crowd shouting, Hosanna. He would have been there at the Last Supper. So rather than 12 disciples, there might have been 13 disciples. He would have seen Jesus on Easter evening saying, Peace be with you. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. That is what he missed when he walked away sad. And that goes back to my point too. It robs us of our true treasure. It robs us of our true treasure. So as we continue to read, you'll see Mark chapter 10, 26. Now, what Jesus had just told them set the disciples on their heels. Whoa. Then who has any chance at all, they asked. Jesus was blunt. I love that. Jesus being blunt. So that means that this point is pretty important, okay? Like blunt. That means like black and white, like you better get this. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. And every chance in the world if you let God do it. I like Peter. He reminds me of myself when I was a student in the program. So Peter, he tried another angle. We left everything and followed you. In verse 28, Jesus said, Mark my words, no one who sacrifices his house, brothers, sisters, mothers, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose all. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land. But also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life. I like bonuses. Buy one, get one free. The bonus of eternal life. This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Now I'm reading to you today out of the message verse. Version, but in the NIV it says we'll be blessed 100 times. How many of us would like to be blessed 100 times? I've been blessed 100 times. I've been blessed many more times than that. And that was my process through Teen Challenge. That's what we do. That's what the church does, is help you remove this stuff and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. So Jesus has given you and me the same call to discipleship. Come and follow me. Come and listen, come and grow, come and serve your neighbor, body and soul, with prayers, offerings, deeds, and kindness. Those are all opportunities for the true treasures Jesus has set in front of us. If we don't listen and reflect, then the loss is ours. The same way that rich young ruler missed out. What do we gain with listening then? We find life in this world and in next. We find Christ, the love of God, Christians, brothers and sisters, 100 times as much as what we leave behind. I can say when I came into Teen Challenge, I didn't have much. And I have been blessed 100 times. And I'm not talking just about Teen Challenge. I'm just talking about Christ. How blessed we are. How thankful you are that you have a church that you can come and worship him freely. That pastor, she can feel at home where she just makes her money rain and throws it at people. That is what it's all about, folks. Now, in closing, in Matthew 16, 21 and 26... Jesus kind of predicts his own death. This is the same kind of story we're ending up there. Matthew, he really wrote about the teachings and the kingdom message. So this is like the message part. This is like the teaching part of it. The title for this in the message version is that you're not in the driver's seat. My dad will really be happy for this because when I was in the driver's seat, I totaled about 4 cars. I've hit trees, poles, parked cars. I've done rolls and flips, gone off highways. Anything else, Dad? That's about it. Okay. That's what happens when I drive. Listen to what he says. Matthew 10:26-21. Then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it is now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised alive. Peter took his hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master. That can never be." But Jesus didn't swerve. I think Nick was talking about Jesus swerving. Not Jesus, but how it swerved. Because it swerved from the path. My wife was in a horrible car accident at 75 miles an hour on the highway. And she was scared. And she let go of the wheel and let Jesus drive. But she crashed through a concrete barrier, totaled her car, and she walked away totally unscathed. I was in Tucson at the time, and she called me, and she said, "I'm in Phoenix. I was in an accident. Tucson's about 2 hours away. I made it there in about 1 hour and 10 minutes. But I was thankful that Jesus was driving. And he didn't swerve. Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead." You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. That was this general section. "Follow me and I'll show you how self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself?" The NIV says to lose your soul. What could you even trade for that? What I've described to you today is the process in Teen Challenge. This is the process of this year that we have of stripping away this stuff. I have men that believe that the job is what it's all about. I have men that believe that the money is what it's all about. I have men that believe that the house is all what it's about. I have other men that believe that they're failures. I believed I was a failure. I believed that I was no good. I believe that God didn't have anything for me. And through Teen Challenge, I see that that is so much further. Now I see where he has great stuff for everyone, especially these men, and especially you as the church. This is the process in what we have in the church. Be thankful that you have pastors and a family that cares about you. Pastor Atticus, and there was many of you that I talked to make sure that this went appropriate. There's a lot of work that goes into this. There's a lot of late night phone calls. There's a lot of prayer. Joseph is the prayer, I'll tell you. There's a lot of that. And be thankful that you have this church. Be thankful that we're called to bring others to go through this process of releasing this stuff. And they're watching us. They will know us by the way we love one another. If you go back to that very verse in the beginning, he says he looked at him hard, but he loved him. I think that's what it's all about. It wasn't about the stuff. It was about the love. It's about what Christ had for him. The real tragedy of stuff is it becomes all about us or self. And it robs us of our true treasure. This is not about us. This is about Christ. And don't let it rob you of your true treasure. We all have a purpose in the body. Every one of us. Don't let your stuff get in the way of robbing you of that true treasure. I'm going to open up the altars for a prayer call. If I would have the church leaders kind of come forward. And if you have an opportunity or you want to release some stuff, now is the time. Now is the time to release that stuff. The same way we're working every day to get our stuff released in Teen Challenge, Jesus can do that here, right now.